Praise God. Here's an old song. You that know it, join in and let's just all sing it together. I love this old song. It tells us that everywhere he went, he was doing good. And you know, I've purposed in my heart that that's what I want to do. Everywhere I go, Lord, let me do good. I would hate to face judgment doing otherwise, wouldn't you? Praise God. Praise God. Oh, we serve such a wonderful Lord. I would, Jim, just praise him for his presence, for this heavenly presence of God just hovered down over us. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Come on. Thank you. I've been a feeding all week long here at Elko County on the precious Word of God. Hallelujah. Marvelous story, so full of glory. It tells the path that Jesus trod.
This is a soprano sax for you that might not know. Most of the folks think it's a clarinet. And sometimes they're boogers to play, so if it squawks out, just don't leave too fast. How many knows that old Rambo song, I Go to the Rock? Thank you.
When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. I'm so glad there is a rock that's higher than I am, higher than my problems, higher than the storm that I'm in. I'm so glad for that. Many times I've come to him and said, Lord, you've got to lift me up. Take my hand where I'm at. It's pretty shaky down here, but I'm glad he's always took my hand and lifted me up to that rock that's higher and planted my feet on solid ground. I'm so glad for that. I've been enjoying the services. I really enjoyed last night. It's so good to be with y'all, and we love you. And enjoy this morning, too. That was just powerful. I love that. It just felt like heaven came down or I went up or something. I tell you what, just makes you realize how much Jesus really loves us. And I'm glad for that. I'm definitely unworthy, but I'm so glad, though I'm unworthy, yet he made me worthy through his blood, because it was all his choice, the cross, the dying, and him giving his life that I could have his life. That was all his choice. And if he gave it to me, I'm going to take it. And I thank God for it. It's good to be here. God bless you.
Marty, play another one of them old Blackwood Brothers songs. How many remembers the Blackwood Brothers Quartet? Got all the older ones. Wally Varner, the greatest quartet piano player to ever play. So play one. Sing your blues away, buddy. Sean Stevens' little boy walked up to me this afternoon and said, y'all going to play four hands on the piano? So we got to do it for him. Very seldom we have a drummer that can play with that. Brother Harris can do it. Amen. Words cannot describe how thankful we are for this privilege. Didn't you enjoy the service this morning?
Amen.
Oh my, if you wasn't here, oh, you missed so much. The communion, so special to me, so special. The broken body, the blood of the new covenant, He gave it to us.
Yes.
Can you imagine? I'm so glad that He loved us in such a way as that. Wonderful afternoon service with Brother Gans. He preached so good. I didn't get to talk about yesterday's services because the Lord took over. Brother Pollard preached wonderful yesterday afternoon on choices. I really enjoyed that. And then this afternoon, Brother Gans preached so wonderful on loving Christ and loving Jesus. And then in the youth service tonight, we had the Gans brothers. Really enjoyed these boys, precious young men. That's a wonderful family, the Gans family. We've known them for many years now and appreciate them so much. And here we are, got the lowly Milliken family up in the night service. So y'all please help us, will you? Band together. Let's reach for the Lord tonight with all you've got. This little song came to my heart and mind. I can't explain all the joy that I felt when at that old-fashioned altar I knelt, finally forgiven, finally friend. I am no longer what I used to be. Gone at last, gone for good. Jesus has taken what nobody else. Of what Jesus can do. All your failures, all your regrets, Jesus forgives, oh yes, and He forgets. Gone at last, gone for good. Are you glad tonight? Jesus has taken what nobody else could. My newly sin, my sinful past. Sunday morning in Stroud, Oklahoma, in August of 1973. It goes like this. I can't explain the joy that I felt when as a little six-year-old boy at that altar I knelt. I was finally forgiven, finally free. I am no longer the boy I used to be, because they're gone at last. Gone for good. Jesus has taken what nobody else could. My guilty sin, my sinful past is gone, gone at last. Now this is the way it is now. I see my life with a new point of view. I'm a testifying to you tonight what my Jesus can do. All your pain, all your regrets, Jesus forgives, and yes, He forgets. Gone at last, gone for good. Jesus has taken what nobody else could. My guilty sin, my sinful past is gone. Has taken.
Lift your hands in praise in the night. Thank you, my.
The first chapter, and we're going to read the 8th verse together. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can you read that together with me, you that have it? I want you to read it together as a group. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It says, ye shall receive power after. Power after. Two little words there. Two great big words there. Two profound words. Two simple words. Power after. Lift your hand and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Oh, Jesus, would you come down here tonight for the next few minutes? If there's anything we need, if there's anything the church needs, if there's anything our young folks, our children, if there's anything our individual church members need, is the power of the Holy Ghost working in our life. We need the power of your Holy Spirit moving, living, unctionizing in our lives, personal lives, families, and churches. Please, Lord, help us for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The word power means the ability to do or act. How many is mystified by power? I'm a guy, and I love cars. I like motors. And I hope I don't embarrass Sister Blue. We held a revival at Cape Girardeau in 1978, 25 years ago. And the Harrises had a Oldsmobile Delta 88 with a Rocket 350 in it. Does anybody remember those old cars? One of the finest cars, the Grace American Highway. And Sister LaDonna was probably about 18, 19 at that time, and I was 9 or 10. And I'd like to ask her to peel out every time she left church. I loved to stand and watch wheels spin. Loved it. I loved to hear. Did anybody understand what peel out meant? I saw a brother right over here explaining to someone what peel out meant. I saw him going like that. I won't say who it was. I just saw it. It's over in this direction over here. Does anybody know what spin out means? And she would take off with that rocket. One, the last night of the revival, I said, LaDonna, really get on it this time. She got on it, threw gravel everywhere. And I remember Brother Harris coming out to see what in the world LaDonna was doing. I've been mystified by power all my life. It's the ability to do or act to influence, control the authority. LaDonna was just a little 18-year-old girl, but all she had to do was push the foot feet down of that old Delta 88-350 rocket, and it done the rest. That's the way it is with the power of the Holy Ghost. You might be little, you may feel little, insufficient, but if the power is not in you, it's in the Holy Ghost. I said it's in the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter how tall you are, how strong you are. This is one thing that little guys has a chance in. All American presidents, most every one of them has been above 6 foot tall. That's the reason why Ross Perot should have never tried. He's too short. But this is one thing that you can get involved in tonight. That it doesn't matter how big you are physically.
David was a little guy, but he had the power of the Holy Spirit of God working, moving in his life. Thank God for power. I have these different folks tells me that all you need is a 350 Chevy to pull a 40-foot trailer. You might for a while, but you need you 454 cubic inches under that hood at least if you're going to pull for a long, long time. And don't even think about the gas mileage, because you need the power. You need the power. If there's anything that our churches in our holiness movement need, is the power. The ability to do and to act, to be useful again. We need the power of the Holy Ghost moving, living, walking, and abiding, speaking, singing, preaching, praying through us. But here Jesus is speaking. Luke is writing, but you shall receive power after. After simply means later in time, subsequent to. Now, I want to do a little survey here tonight. How many received the Holy Ghost the same night you got saved? Let me see your hand, if you can remember back. We're going to get a few. Going to get a few. 3, 4, 5. Now, how many received the Holy Ghost subsequent later on? Let me see your hands. Look at this. You see, it's possible to get it all in one helping. It is possible. And I wish it would have been that way in my life. But I had to do it the hard way. Bless your heart. I got saved when I was 6 years old. The Lord blessed me at different times of my life. When I was 11, the Lord began to deal with me about preaching the gospel. I ran from that through my teenage years. But then the Lord sanctified me wholly in September of 1987 when I lifted my hands in the darkness of a night praying and all my family at rest. Bawling like a baby, I said, God, I surrender my all to you. And he separated me under the ministry. Then 2 months later, November the 2nd, 1987, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm really glad. I want to share something with you tonight. I'm glad I had to work for it. Because when you work for something, you'll take better care of it. I had a 1969 Chevrolet two-door hardtop coupe Caprice with 350 cubic inches, 255 horses, dual exhaust, 18-inch glass packs, teardrop fenders with skirts, black and white. She ran good and sounded good, but I bought my first set of tires and I quit peeling out. You see, it makes a difference when you got to pay a price. As long as Dad was buying the tires, it didn't matter. I could leave them in rubber powder on the road. But when I started buying them, it changed my mind. The boys said, let us show us what it'll do. I said, it'll do it, but I'm not going to do it all. Come on. Come on, do it. You're a chicken. I said, no, I'm not. I just bought new tires. When you work for something, friend, you'll take care of it. I said, you'll take care of it. And I believe that's the reason why the Lord lets most of us work hard for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is so that when we get Him, we'll take care of Him. I showed you by example that most all of us that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost received Him after we were saved. We shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. It did not say you shall receive power after you're saved. Does your Bible read that way? Did it say you shall receive power after you're sanctified? Did your Bible read that way? It says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's where the power is in that third person of the divine Trinity. What did Jesus mean when He said, I shall go away? It's expedient for you. It's needful for you. I can't go with you everywhere. I can't be with you everywhere. But I'm going to send you another Comforter, and He shall abide with you always. He was just a man walking in human flesh, though He was divine in this world. But He sent that third person of the divine Trinity. He is a person. It's not an it. over and over in John chapter 16. He shall lead you and guide you. He shall testify of Jesus Christ. He shall condemn the world of judgment and righteousness. He shall lead you and guide you. He is a person tonight. Hallelujah! And we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want you to go back with me just for a few moments. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gives His disciples power to cast out devils and to raise the dead and heal the sick. Do you realize they didn't do none of that until He gave them the power? In Luke chapter 8, you find where there was a man brought his boy to the disciples of Christ. Peter, James, and John was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the other nine was down there at the foot of the hill, and they was dealing with a problem they could not deal with. They had a boy there that has epileptic situation, and oft times it was throwing him into the water and into the fire. And this man beseeched the disciples of Jesus Christ to set him free. But they could not. The Bible said they could not. Then Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John. That's what we need to do, is get up on the mountain and then come down with something to share, something to give. He came down the mountain and said, "What's all this uproar?" And He said, "Bring the boy to Me." And He delivered the boy from that evil spirit. And the disciples called Him away privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" He said, "This kind cometh forth but by prayer and by fasting." There's got to be a power beyond ours. There's got to be a power beyond our ability. There's got to be a higher power. And thank God there is. They did nothing until He gave them the power. Go back a little bit further with me. In Luke the 4th chapter, you will find where Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. You will find at His baptism, when John placed Him under the water and He came up out of the water, there came down from heaven a dove that descended and abode upon Jesus Christ. God had already told John, "I'm giving you a sign. That dove is going to descend. Whom you see that dove descend, the Spirit descend upon and abide." That is Him. John said, "I didn't know Him." That's an odd statement, them being cousins. But what would you think if your cousin told you he was the Son of God? What would you do if your cousin told you he was virgin born? That your Uncle Joseph wasn't his dad? What would you do? You'd been just like John. "God, please, give me a sign. I've played with this kid in Palestinian sand. And he says he's the Son of God. You're going to have to reveal this to me." God said, "Okay, John, I will. There's going to come down from heaven a spirit in the form of a dove. He's going to abide upon him. And whom you see him abiding upon, that's going to be him." It was after that baptism, it was after that descension of the Spirit, that John looked down the road and saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That all happened after the baptism of the Spirit. When Jesus was carried by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days, when He returned and preached in His hometown. How many remembers you preaching your first message to your home folks? Man, there are folks that have panic attacks when kids get up to preach that are nephews and cousins and brothers. Man, it's terrible. I remember preaching in my home church the first time, Grandpa and Grandma, how they was about to have a nervous fit, and I was too. Because you see, if you're kin to them, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, if they flop out, the biggest flop that ever come along, you're kin to them. They're still your cousin. They're still your brother. You see, Jesus is making a home trip to Nazareth to preach to His home folks. But listen, friend, He was a different Jesus than they knew, because now He was full of the Spirit of God. And the Bible tells us we shall receive power after subsequent to, at a later time, he takes the Bible and opens it up to Isaiah 61 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recover the sight to the blind. I set the bruised free and preach the acceptable year of the Lord." They were amazed. They were amazed. Then Jesus' fame began to spread around that he was making the lame to walk, the dumb to hear, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak, and the blind to see. It was after the Spirit came down upon him. As we hurry on here, I can see Jesus as he continues his ministry, as he continues moving about Palestine and on the east side of the river of Jordan, the land of Perea, setting people free. Everywhere he went, he was doing good, moved upon and led by the Holy Spirit of God. But then the crucifixion, then the burial, then the resurrection, then the scattering of the disciples, the denial of Peter, Judas's betrayal, all the disciples caught in the grip of sorrow and heartache. But Jesus says, "Hey, wait a minute here. I'm going away, but I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to come to you. I'm going to send you another comforter." Hallelujah! Now we find that Jesus' earthly ministry is over. And I got a little question for you. How many miracles took place between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost? How many blind eyes was made to see in those 50 days between Passover and Pentecost? You know what you had between Passover and Pentecost? You had a disillusioned church. You had a confused church. You had a useless church. You had a church that was walking by the lame at the beautiful gate and paid no attention to them. You had a church that was hiding in the darkness. You had a church, the Bible says, that had locked doors. Hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. You had Thomas hiding in the darkness saying, "I will not believe until I put my finger in the print of his nails and I behold the print in his side. I will not believe." But thank God there was 120 that listened to the commandment of God and listened to his command to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. And there they tarried for 10 days. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that above 500 brethren saw him alive after many infallible passions and ways. Only 120 out of that over 100, over 500 made it to the upper room. There is 380 that's missing somewhere. Do you realize that about that same percentage is in our churches tonight? About 20% goes on to receive the power of God. And about 80% sits back and watches. We haven't made much progress. It was that way back then. In one of our nominal Pentecostal organizations years ago, 70% went on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Today, only 17% goes on. And most of those has been taught to speak in tongues. Do you realize we're a dying Pentecostal breed? If we continue on, nothing but Pentecostal on our church's sign is all that's going to be there to let anybody know that we're Pentecostal. Listen, friend, it's power after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're going to have tonight to make it in this last day and to serve our generation by the will of God. It's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One day passed and they were still praying. Reminds me of that fast meet they had in Texas with Brother and Sister Dowd. A couple of my friends went down there to that fast. It was going to be a 7-day fast. They placed them in a room there at Brother Dowd's headquarters and placed them in a room that the window opened up and you looked out right down on McDonald's. And my two friends were pretty good hefty boys. And you don't have to be hefty to get hungry. You can be a little squirt and get hungry. 3 days passed and that yellow McDonald's sign got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and a Big Mac attack was attacked in them. Third day, they packed up and they knew they was going to have to leave. They wasn't no staying with Brother Dowd if he's going to break the fast. You just might as well pack your bags and go home. They packed their bags and slipped out, stopped by McDonald's and headed for Oklahoma. They missed the blessing. Because about the fifth day of that fast, the Holy Ghost fell in Dallas, Texas at Brother Dowd's headquarters. Listen, friend, we're missing out because we're leaving too quick. Second day, they're still praying. Third day, they're still praying. Fourth day, they're still praying. I hope I can stir your heart tonight. Fifth day, they're still praying. How many realize is this what we need in this last day and hour? Is the power of the Holy Ghost. My grandmother's mother and dad and parents were all Church of Christ. And I'm not narking Church of Christ at all. But they were all Church of Christ. They didn't believe in music. They didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. They didn't believe in them tongue talkers. But guess what? The Lord sent an old-time holiness preacher to hold a brush harbor where they were living. My mother has an aunt by the name of Margaret that went down to that meeting and she got saved. You say she got saved. I thought she was a member of the church. Margaret said she got saved. We'll take it from her. I mean, Grandpa to be thought he was saved, but he was knife fighting, gambling, and moonshining. How in the world can you be saved and do that? Womanizing and dancing in the dance halls at night. But he claimed to be saved. Margaret came home and they found out there had been a change in Margaret's life. They said, "Where you been?" She said, "I went down there to that brush harbor. You've disgraced our family." Sing moonshining family by getting saved. You talking about some warped thinking. That's warped thinking. They said, "You're not going down there and disgracing our family no more. You stay home tomorrow night." Now, I don't know how to advocate this, but Margaret was 18, and she went back to the meeting the next night. And that night, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She came back home. They said, "Where you been?" "I've been down there to that meeting. We figured that." She said, "Not only that, but I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues." My grandpa and his brothers-to-be left the house, went down to that brush harbor, drugged the preacher out, beat him up, left blood stains on the ground, and ended the revival. My grandpa, to the day he died, regretted it, would weep and cry over being involved in beating up the preacher that night. A little bit later, Margaret came down with a fever that would take her life at the age of 18 years old. As she was dying, she called her family into her room where she was. She looked at her dad and pointed her finger at her dad and she said, "Dad, what I got down there at that brush harbor is what you need. Mama, what I got down there at that brush harbor is what you need." Spoke to my grandpa to be, Toy William Kreiner. "Toy, what I got down there is the only thing that's going to give you victory over your drinking, your womanizing, your gambling, and your knife fighting. It's the only thing that's going to set you free." She testified to all of them, went to speaking in tongues. They grabbed all the sheet they could grab and held her on the bed. They thought she was hallucinating. They held her down on the bed. She shouted. She spoke in tongues. She settled down. They went into the kitchen wondering what they was going to do. Slipped back into the room. And Margaret, my aunt I never met, looking forward to some of these days, had done slipped away to the heavenly world. But that family was forever touched. They moved on over to Haskell, Oklahoma, and Uncle Jack Martin started a prayer meeting in his house. And the girl that would be my grandmother got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Toy William Kreiner fell in love with her, and it made him mad that she was saved and Holy Ghost filled. I lost Margaret to her, the tongue-talking bunch, and now my girlfriend's got it. He was standing looking in the window at Uncle Jack Martin's house and watching the little stage girls as they shouted by the window. It made him so mad, he said, I'm going to cool them off. He went to the well and got a 5-gallon bucket full of cold well water. And he went back to that window and waited for Grandma to come by. To be. Got that bucket, I'm telling you the truth tonight, got that bucket, threw it inside the house all over Clara's stage. They said she never missed a beat. She kept on dancing, Holy Ghost speaking through her, tongue speaking through her, as the Holy Ghost gave the evidence. Oh man, Grandpa knew he was in trouble. He takes off running across the yard, out the gate, into the pasture. He forgot all about that old stump out there where they piled all the old implements that was broke and worn out. He ran over that stump and everything that was around it. He said, Jimmy almost lost both legs. He said, I went numb from my waist down. He said, I rolled out over the top of it onto the other side. He said, Uncle Jack Martin and all the men was a-hollering and a-running in the distance after me, wondering who in the world had done such a thing as that. And he said, I was begging God to forgive me with everything that I had. God, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. The next night, my grandpa nailed an old cane bottom chair in the front yard of Uncle Jack Martin's house in Haskell, Oklahoma, and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. A couple nights later, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. My Church of Christ great-grandpa died in my grandpa's arms speaking in tongues. My grandfather died in 1994. The last thing he'd done on earth was raise his little crippled hand that had been burnt years ago. And the last word he said was glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. It was a little Holy Ghost 18-year-old girl that received the power after the Holy Ghost came upon her that changed the life and the family and the future of my family. Lift your hands and praise Him tonight. Power! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! When the day of Pentecost was fully came, they came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were assembled together. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each one of them. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All of a sudden the locked doors was unlocked. The room no longer was big enough. 3,000 souls were saved. They received power after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Hallelujah. This is what we need in 2003. This is what we preach. This is what we believe. We need to practice it. I said we need to practice it. We need to practice it. Marty, come to the piano tonight. Do we have any hungry hearts? I said, do we have any hungry hearts here tonight? For this power. For this power. Oh God, the ability, the authority to act in your spirit and under your anointing. I went to mother and dad, sat down on the end of the bed here a few years ago. I said, Mama, I'm studying, Dad, I'm studying. I'm praying more than I ever have. And it seems like nothing is happening. Mama, Dad, what is wrong? Mama, don't pull no punches when it comes to things of God. She said, Jimmy, you need more anointing. I did not want to hear that. I wanted to hear her say, those folks you've been preaching to is dead. You've just been in a few hard churches. Don't worry about it. It'll all be over. We'll get into a livelier place and things will be better. She didn't tell me none of that. She said, Jimmy, what you need is more of the anointing. Close your Bible for a while, son, and ask God for the power of the Holy Ghost on what you're preaching and what you're saying. I left their bed, didn't feel too good, a little bit aggravated. But I knelt at my bed before I went to bed. Tears welled up my eyes. I said, God, she just told me the truth. It's not the people. We preachers want to blame folks. I've never seen such wham, banging, and clubbing folks in all of my life. And you know what the simple problem is? We're not where we need to be as preachers of the gospel. D.L. Moody told a young pastor, he's complaining about his church. D.L. Moody said, you're trying to build a fire in the pew. Build a fire in the pulpit. I doubt if he wanted to hear that either. But this is simply what we need, Brother Pollard. And I'm begging God every day for the power of the Holy Ghost to be in my life and in my ministry, in my singing, and in my preaching. How many wants it in your life? Do you want it in your life? Do you want it in your life? I want you to come and stand around the front if you want it. You that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you preachers and pastors, singers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, I want you to meet me in this altar. Oh Lord, send the power after the Holy Ghost. There was no miracles until the Holy Ghost came. Just make it 100% tonight if you can. Just make it 100%. We want everyone that will. If our church needs anything in this last day, it's the power of the Holy Ghost.
They were all with one accord.
It's the power of the Holy Ghost.
As was promised by
me, God, light my fire.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now.
It's not the people's fault. It's my fault. It's not the church's fault. It's my fault. God, I've got to have the power. With no Holy Ghost, the church done nothing. The doors was locked. The lane stayed at the beautiful gate. Thomas was hiding in the darkness of unbelief. But then the Holy Ghost came. The lame walked. The Holy Ghost fell. They shouted, they danced. They were considered drunk.
Yes, this old time power was given.
Pentecostal, not by name only, but by experience. Cry out to him, saints. Cry out like you never have before.
Oh, Lord, send the power.
Until we are endued with power. Until we are endued with power. Until we are endued with power.
Little and multiply it. The power of the Holy Ghost in the power.
can make your dreams come true. The Holy Ghost can make your imaginations come true.
Lord, send the power to sound. Baptize.
Holy Ghost revival. Holy Ghost revival.
Send the power to sound. Oh Lord, send the power to sound. Oh Lord, send the power to sound. Baptize everyone. Yes, this old time power.
Yes,
to our fathers who worship.
It's not our people's fault. The world's fault. It's my fault. God, I've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. I must practice what I believe. I must practice what I preach. I must. Dear God. Holy Ghost fire breathing church. Clean. purify us. Dear God, I'm persuaded. The fault is not in the pew. The fault is at my doorstep. The fault is in the pulpit. Dear God, help us, Lord.
God gives us to thrill you, kill you, and give your liberty. Holy anointing, keep the sign.
Ah, Jesus, fill us. Fill us. Take away our uselessness. Make us useful, Lord. Unlock our doors. Unlock our windows. Take away our bashfulness and backwardness. We've allowed the charismatic to rob us. God, help us to step back in our rightful place and be original Pentecostal Holiness Church. Dear God, use us in this last day. I believe you're going to send revival, Lord. I believe it's going to start with the holiness people. I believe it's going to start with the holiness people. God, use us. Prepare our hearts. Raise up these young folks. Raise up these young men and young women. Raise up these pastors.
Will you and give your liberty? I want
this anointing that breaks the yoke, destroys the yoke.
Inside of me,
to him, young folks. Let him fill you tonight with the Holy Ghost.
That precious anointing.
Let him fill you.
That only God gives out.
Let him fill you.
Captive.
I want that holy anointing.
is out.